Hola and welcome back to Vos Memos. On this episode, I want to continue one of my last episodes that was called When Does Informed Become Insanity? Because unfortunately, the current climate politically still makes me feel insane. And so I want to continue this series for me, just as someone who likes to be informed, but I feel extremely tired every time I read the headlines. So if you're like me, and you want some strategies to keep up with the topic of illegal immigration, but it's also hurting your heart, stick around, grab a snack, drink some water, go on your walk, and let's get right into it. So like I said, this is a part two. I don't know if it's going to be a series yet. I think it'd have to be three episodes to be a series, but part two of When Does Informed Become Insanity? And so if you haven't seen or listened to that one, it'll be linked in the show notes. Like I said, I want to talk about illegal immigration, the Trump administration's total lack of empathy for immigrants from all countries, but I mean, they're very racial about Mexican immigrants. And the White House press secretary, I mean, she started off strong, Caroline Leavitt, constantly referring to immigrants as criminals. I think every time I see her talking about a press briefing, she is mentioning the mass deportation, quote, campaign, as if it's just like some kind of political slogan when it's really like destroying people's lives, destroying families. And I mean, honestly, like, Mexican immigrants, Latin American immigrants, they are the backbone of so many industries. Their exploited labor, excuse me, is the backbone of so many industries. So I don't know who they think they're helping when they further criminalize immigrants, other than, of course, like for-profit prisons, right, who directly benefit from criminalizing and detaining migrants. I don't know, maybe illegal document manufacturers and identity thieves have some kind of lobby party with the Trump administration, because those are also the people that benefit from making immigration illegal and more difficult. Or maybe Trump just hates like the DACA dreamers, that group of kids who've grown up in America, are Americans in every aspect except on paper. I don't know why it has become so escalated. I know why. It's because he's racist, and I'm not even going to get into Elon Musk, all of that. Like, no, I'm not going to talk about him because that's a whole nother episode. But yeah, like, I don't even want to read back what Caroline Leavitt constantly calls immigrants, illegal immigrants. I'm going to call them illegal immigrants because that's their status in the United States, but I'm also going to get into a whole book about why immigration even became illegal. So I'm not going to get into the Trump administration's terrible views on immigration, and I mean the tariffs that they're doing, it's all rooted in racism. Like, they say, and nationalism, racism and nationalism, because they are white nationalists. Like, makes sense, right? All of these policies directly benefit white capitalists, basically, and then just harm people of color, the lowest economic brackets of our society. It's just slowly chipping away at all the work we've tried to do to, I mean, make our society more equitable. We've really seen that roll back, especially with Target and other companies rolling back their DEI initiatives, following for no reason the Trump administration's calls to bring DEI out of the federal space. I don't know why private companies are suddenly working on that. I understand if they have like a federal contract. I understand if they have a federal contract and a federal obligation in that regard. I used to work at a company like that that did have to follow. I mean, I was working there. Yeah, I was working there when Trump was in office the first time around, and because of it, I'd had no DEI training as part of my onboarding when I worked there, because that was his whole thing back then, and it's his whole thing again. So I don't know why we're surprised. It makes a lot of sense that if you elect a racist into office, they're going to make all their policies racist. So makes perfect sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to you, I'm sure someone will explain it to you in the comments. But what I want to get into is this book that I just finished reading, which is called Undocumented: How Immigration Became Illegal by Aviva Chomsky. And she's a historian and professor. This book came out in 2014. So little did she know at the time how the Trump administration would make everything 10 times worse, starting in 2016. And I mean, I don't think Joe Biden is like faultless either. The Democrats never go as far as they can to support immigrants. And I mean, this book really highlighted to me like the Obama administration's faults in dealing with this issue, because there's really not a simple solution. And so before I get too far ahead of myself, I want to give you some main takeaways or things that were validated for me from this book. It is a nonfiction book. And she probably has a more recent book too. This was just a book on my bookshelf that I hadn't read, and I've made a resolution to like read all the books on my bookshelf that I haven't read. So actually, there's one more left on my bookshelf. Jose Olivares, Promesas de Oro, Promises of Gold. It's a little confusing because it's confusing for me to hold it up in the camera, because it is in Spanish and in English. So half the book is in Spanish, half the book is in English. And it's just poetry. In this groundbreaking collection of poems, Jose Olivares explores every kind of love, self, brotherly, romantic, familial, and cultural. Grappling with the contradictions of the American dream with unflinching humanity, he lays bare the ways in which love is complicated by forces larger than our hearts. And so this one is actually another one I haven't read on my bookshelf, so I'll probably read this one next. But in the meantime, my main takeaways and from Undocumented: How Immigration Became Illegal. Number one, immigrants are not stealing our jobs. Duh. I mean, I always knew this to be true, but I also liked seeing it validated with the data in this book. So I liked that. Illegal status has become more and more enforced and all-encompassing. And to me, what was really eye-opening in this book was just how recent immigration has become illegal, specifically for Mexicans and Latin Americans. Because for a long time, they were just in a loophole or in a gray area. Even as recent as Hurricane Ian and many natural disaster cleanups. The one it mentioned in this book was Hurricane Katrina. Specifically for Hurricane Katrina, what was so crazy to me was that the president waived the need to check for like citizenship for employment for the cleanup effort. And so all of a sudden, all the migrants that had been living in the United States undocumented had this work opportunity, and they worked. They cleaned up Hurricane Katrina. They clean up natural disasters all over the U.S., for low wages in this gray area. And I mean, I just don't understand how people can be so hateful to a group that does the worst jobs available, and some of the most important jobs. They keep our offices clean. They work in the restaurant industry, cleaning and preparing our food. Specifically, fast food has grown a lot for undocumented workers. They do lawn care, they do child care, meat packing, agriculture. There's so many construction was another big one. There's so many sectors that rely on the migrant workforce and exploit the migrant workforce. for their labor, for cheap labor, and people act like they're stealing our jobs. It's like no one wants to do these jobs, and yet we're exploiting these migrants because they have no other opportunity. And in the book, over and over again, Chomsky pointed out that as soon as migrants get a legal status to work any job, they're out of there. They don't want to work these jobs either. Like, these jobs suck and they're not paid well. And so if they do get legal status, then they go to a different sector. And that is also another reason why these industries lobby against legalization of immigration, because they know they're going to lose all their workers if that happens. And so for them, for the agriculture industry, for the construction industry, what they want is a type of legalization that allows them to still control these people. And that takes me kind of into my last takeaway from this book, is that immigration has always been about control. And Chomsky kind of brings it all the way back to a colonization mindset, where Europeans were kind of the first people who had enough power and like authority to be able to move across ocean and become conquistadors, become colonizers of the Americas, right? And because of that, Europeans, once they came over here and became colonizers, they then controlled the movements of the people that already lived here, namely the Native Americans and, by extension, Mexicans. And so it's always been about control. And when she wrote that down, that really blew my mind, because, I mean, there's a lot of academic papers about decolonization, and I mean, that's kind of in some scholars' minds, like the next step to anti-racism is also a decolonization mindset. It has permeated so much in our society that we don't even recognize when it's there, especially in this scenario where we have thought, I mean, we have baked it in to our minds and our society that I was born here, so I'm allowed to live here. You were not born here, so you're not allowed to live here. And yet it's all arbitrary. And it goes all the way back to just white people who had the power to force people to do their will and force people to move away or force people to stay in one spot. So, I mean, I think back to Trail of Tears, Native Americans, like, we're always forcing the people who have less power to go where we want them to go. And it's the same thing with migrants right now, where if we need them, then we'll let them operate in a gray space, where we'll let them come in and do the work that no one else wants to do. And when we don't need them, we'll criminalize them, we'll lock them up, and we'll deport them. I say we, I don't want to be a part of it, but I am, because I live in this country. So that's the heavy part. I'm going to read a couple quotes here. First, I mean, again, Mexicans were here first, right? Then the Europeans came in. Then the U.S. suddenly created a border through a couple different treaties. But the quote goes, "The first Mexicans in the United States did not cross any borders. Rather, the border crossed them." I mean, that quote really resonated with me because, I mean, it's just a story that's told over and over again in history, where the people are there and then all of a sudden they're being subjugated to the whims and demands of a colonizer. So that quote really stuck out to me. And then I'm going to read one more quote. And this is kind of at the end. So that quote was from the beginning, where Chomsky is really laying out this idea that illegalization of immigration goes all the way back to the colonizer mindset. And then at the end, when she's taken us through all of the steps that we had to go through to get immigration to this level of illegality and criminalization. She kind of wraps it up in this one quote. Illegal immigration is also based on some unquestioned assumptions about countries. It's not okay for a public park, a town, a county, or a state to discriminate regarding who is allowed to enter its space. But it's okay for a country to do that. It's not okay to treat people differently based on their religion, race, gender, or many other characteristics. But it's okay to treat people differently based on where they were born or their nationality, which is generally determined by where a person is born. U.S. immigration laws do just that. Discriminate on the basis of nationality regarding who is allowed to be where. It is a form of discrimination. It leaves these populations so incredibly vulnerable. We expect them to come across the border in a very specific way that is a very limited opportunity. Meanwhile, we give like Canadians a very easy way to work in the United States legally. We give Europeans a free pass to tour our country without a visa. And then just we choose very specific countries or jump through all these hoops to just step foot across the border without facing legal action. So if you want a very informative step-by-step walkthrough on how immigration became illegal, I would highly recommend that book. Like I said, it was published in 2014, so it does stop at the modern time. But for me, that's kind of what I needed because I lived through the first Trump administration and this new Trump administration. So I was kind of okay with not rehashing all of that because I'm living it. I'm living in that hell that we are in right now. So for me, that was very helpful to fill in some gaps and also shed some light on how Obama wasn't perfect. I think, because I was only 8 when Obama was elected, right? So the first time. And so what I didn't realize was that the e-verify system where you type in your social security card number to like prove to your employer that you're a U.S. citizen, that was Obama. That was Obama's way of, instead of physically raiding workplaces, it's a virtual audit, basically. Yeah. So that was disturbing to me. I hadn't heard that before, and I've encountered that system many, many times. I think even for taxes. I don't know. It proliferated in many spaces. I'll leave you with the strategies I'm using to kind of keep my hope up and not go insane. First thing, I think I mentioned this in the last episode, is you can support these minority communities that are being targeted in ways other than like keeping up with the news or direct political action. For example, I just finished the book Certain Dark Things by Silvia Moreno Garcia, which is a fun read by a Mexican author. It's a vampire noir. So it's like got a police detective, but there's also vampires and there's like vampire gangs. And it was giving me all these locations in Mexico that I hadn't heard of before, like Pequeño Sol. I had never heard of Little Sol in Mexico City, but there is a whole Korean community living in Mexico City. And the book mentions that. So I was like learning a lot about Mexican culture while also hearing about like vampire mythology. And I'm sure a lot of it is based on like Mexican traditions. And so, yeah, check out Silvia Moreno Garcia if you want like a fun read. And then I'm also going to link a zine, The Karen's Guide to Disrupting U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE Operations. Use Your Privilege for Good. So this is a zine directly targeted at middle class white women and getting out in your community to share what rights people have as undocumented people and like share that with other people, because a big part of it is all of us knowing our rights, because ICE uses the idea that we don't know what they can and can't do to their advantage. And that can mean showing you a document that says that they have the authority to enter, but it's just a fake document, or it doesn't give them that authority. They need a judge's signature on a very specific document. So this is a great zine to print out, distribute in your local community. I think it has little cards attached to it that kind of break down what your rights are when you're confronting an ICE officer. And yeah, so that's just a great quick strategy to get yourself up to speed and just be a little bit more informed. And then if you have the energy, distribute it in your community. So I think I stumbled across that on Reddit. Love that little zine community there. So I thought I would share the first book, Undocumented, How Immigration Became Illegal. I think it's a really good read, but I understand if even that is too much because for me, it was a lot. Like I would say every other page, I highlighted something that was deeply disturbing that I didn't know about or something disturbing that I did know about and I had to read about it again. So, I mean, she doesn't go into like very many personal case studies, but there are a few. It's mostly just like a very textbook walkthrough on the steps that the U.S. took to get to where we are, but I feel a lot more informed on it. And I don't think any class I took in university or high school ever got me that level of information on our immigration systems. So, and it was like 200 pages. So very digestible. Take care of yourselves. And I mean, one thing I'm doing to like mitigate how much news I'm getting is just subscribing to a newsletter from one news site. Just keep it short and sweet. You don't need to read every single article. You don't need to watch every single news coverage or video. Just do the level where it is sustainable for you. And check in on your friends and family, your community. Just do what you can to make the world a little happier. And I'll leave it at that. So if you liked this episode, give it a like or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. These episodes are bi-weekly, so definitely come back for the next one. And you can learn more about the podcast on angelageorge.com/voice-memos. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.